This episode is brought to you by Just Crack an Egg.
Matthew, has your relationship with breakfast felt a little blah lately?
Yeah, I was talking to my therapist about it. It's just too much to face on a weekday morning.
Well, Matthew, maybe you should head over to the egg aisle and pick up Just Crack an Egg.
Oh, you mean that hot, fluffy scramble that's ready in less than 2 minutes?
Yes, I do. You just add a fresh egg over the chopped veggies, shredded cheese, hearty meat, and potatoes, and then you stir it, microwave it, and reignite your love for breakfast.
I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Today, we are doing something that we almost never do. I can't wait to see what happens.
We're cooking something delicious, eating it all, and you can't have any.
Yeah, no. We have a guest on the show today. We have the amazing and multi-talented Julia Tertian.
Thank you. That's very kind.
who happens to be here in Seattle because she has a new book out called Now and Again. Of course, is also the author of Small Victories and Feed the Resistance, the person behind the incredible website Equity at the Table. What else? Am I forgetting anything?
I feel like you hit the big ones.
Okay.
No, that's
awesome.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, and I gotta say, I love this new book.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I'm really excited about it. And yeah, I love it too. Am I allowed to say that?
I think so.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think as writers, like it's the most natural thing to be the worst critic.
Like self-deprecating.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like
it's part of the job description.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad you said something nice about my book. I mean, I know it sucks.
On that happy note, now that we've taken that tour into Matthew's brain.
Oh, come on. Like, you've never felt that way.
No, I feel that way every time. I find it, I mean, I think I have that, like, normal human, very human response to positive words. Like, I struggle to believe them.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, welcome to
our therapy
hour.
Exactly. We did this, like, just, like, last week, right?
We did, yeah.
We did an episode about meal planning, and things got really real.
Yeah.
Is it on?
I don't think it's out yet. It will be by the time people hear this.
Are you pro meal planning? Or?
Yes. Yeah. But we were both, we were beating ourselves up a lot about how bad we are at it, considering we are food professionals. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I would say that, like, there's no doubt about it, Matthew is an amazing meal planner.
And, I don't think so.
And is the primary cook for his family seven nights a week.
That part is true.
Anyway. Tune in for that episode.
Is about iceberg lettuce.
It is. And when we were thinking about what we might want to talk with you about, iceberg was one of the things that came up. And I thought, I feel like this is one of those things. I mean, for one thing, there's a recipe in Small Victories for Gus's.
Yes.
Is it Gus's House Salad?
Gus's House Salad, yes.
That uses iceberg lettuce. So I knew that you would probably be able to jump on the iceberg bandwagon.
1,000%.
With us.
Yes.
Yeah,
so,
I feel like I've been using it more and more over the last couple of years.
Yes. I think of you as as a real iceberg man.
In that, like,
like Brendan Fraser, like I thawed you out of, wasn't he like encased in ice? We've talked about him before on the show.
And not in the movie Encino Man, but the actual actor Brendan Fraser was defrosted.
Do you know the movie we're talking about?
Yes. Unfortunately, okay. you don't see him much in movies anymore because he had to go back into the
cold.
Yeah, they just let him out to do that one movie.
No, when you said you thought of me as an iceberg man, I thought you meant that, like, if you accidentally bump into me on the street, you'll, like, slowly sink and disappear.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Well, that was worth a shot.
Okay. So the first thing we do on the show is we do a little segment called Memory Lane, which I think probably speaks for itself. Mm-hmm. We take a walk down a street together.
Great.
And the street is called Memory Lane. And we talk about
Iceberg Way.
Of Iceberg Way. Yes. Watch out for the iceberg, Matthew. We talk about our memories of iceberg.
Yes. Mm.
So who wants to lead it off?
Well, okay, so the thing that came to my mind, like, this was definitely one of the lettuces of my youth. And I do remember, like, eating salads as a kid, and I was never a kid who minded vegetables. But when I think of iceberg, what specifically comes to mind is the salad that they served at the school lunchroom, like in elementary school, which was, it came in a styrofoam bowl. I used to, like, laugh every time that, like, the texture of the salad and the texture of the bowl were pretty similar. Because it was like shreds of iceberg and shreds of carrot. And I don't even know if there was tomato. I feel like, so The thing is, I was terrified of salad dressing at that age, so I'd eat this salad plain.
Terrified of condiments in general.
I was a condiment phobic child.
Really?
You're again, still condiment phobic.
Not as much though.
Okay, you're still anti mayonnaise.
Salad dressing now, unless it's mayonnaise.
You're an anti mayonnaise person. Good to know.
But sometimes, like in the right context, I'm fine with it. But yeah, so I remember like almost every day, I think with school lunch, I loved getting hot lunch. I loved the chili at school, and I would always get this little perfunctory salad.
And with no dressing.
With no dressing.
Yeah. Single cherry tomato. Maybe a single cherry tomato.
Yeah. It was like an individual sad salad.
An individual sad salad.
An ISS. Mm-hmm.
That was what it was labeled on the cafeteria bar.
Absolutely.
Was there, anyway.
Was there a bar? You know what? So in elementary school, we would fill out this order slip at the beginning, like in the morning, and then they would bring our lunch like on a tray to table.
That's really? Service.
Yes. And then like when in middle school, then there was a bar.
Huh.
I went to a weird private school through eighth grade.
Wow. So, yeah. Wow. I had to bring my lunch all the way up until high school.
I mean, I sometimes brought lunch.
Okay.
When it wasn't chilly day.
When it wasn't chilly.
Because that was exciting.
Yeah. Wednesday. Wednesday was chilly day.
So I grew up in Oklahoma. Uh-huh. But with parents from, so my dad was originally from Toronto and my mom was from Baltimore. My parents, they both really loved good food. Mm-hmm. But as with a lot of people who love good food, they had a bit of a strain of food snob in them. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like I grew up hearing scornful things about Iceberg.
Ah.
Yeah, I grew up hearing that Iceberg wasn't good. Anyway, the only time I ever encountered it, I think, was like out at like Mexican restaurants
where
it would come like shredded on like, you know, some sort of a plate that involved refried beans. Mm-hmm. And I remember it was always so delicious and really delicious with like some sort of like mild shredded cheese that was always involved with it, like the crunch and the creaminess and
taco salad.
Yeah. That is such a simple phrase for what I'm describing. Thank you for giving it words.
Which I didn't find out what that was until like 2 years ago.
What?
When I went to like,
really?
Yeah, because I think it's a real Southern thing from what I understand. My wife grew up in Virginia Beach and like grew up with taco salad, and lots of people know what it is, but I didn't know until we went to like a community potluck.
I don't think it's not society. Just a Southern thing though, because I definitely grew up with it in Portland, Oregon.
I don't know, I just missed it.
Yeah.
Did the taco salad of Grace's youth, did it come in like a fried tortilla bowl?
I'll have to ask her, but I know it involved like kind of seasoned ground beef, the shredded cheese, Iceberg, and then like what's it called? Catalina dressing.
What's Catalina? What's that?
Okay, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one who didn't know. I got that response too. It's like one of those what's the company, Wishbone or something like that. Yeah. It's like some flavor they make.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna it's bet like sugar when you and ask her, and it did come in an edible bowl.
I bet we'll have to have a follow up.
Yeah.
Anyway, it took me until well into adulthood to understand that Iceberg is that even though Iceberg has showed up maybe in some places where it didn't make for the most delicious salads, I've come around to really believe in Iceberg and to really like using it. So
me too. I hope we're all on the same page with that, because otherwise it's going to be a very contentious episode.
Our listeners are always asking for us to fight more, though. So
that's true. Okay. Yeah.
What about your memory lane?
Well, I love Iceberg, so yeah, no fight. No, someone said to me recently, like, oh, do you feel like Iceberg is coming back? And I was like, where did it ever go? Yeah, I love it. I grew up loving like Iceberg wedge, kind of blue cheese, all that kind of stuff. And then in Small Victories, I did a recipe for Gus's house salad that you mentioned, which Gus's was this like seafood restaurant near where I grew up. And their house salad was like chopped Iceberg, tomatoes, red onion, and crumbled blue cheese. And you could, if you were like a table of, you know, more than one person, everyone could kind of order theirs the same way. They'd come mix the whole salad with like oil and like the cheapest vinegar. But then like one person can get the blue cheese, one person can get it with the onions and stuff. And I love the like customization. But to me, that was always just like the best salad because it was so crunchy and I love it. So I've always been pro Iceberg. I also really like a lettuce cup. Like a kind of like Mr. Chow style, like, you know, minced chicken or whatever. Like, I like it as like a vessel.
Yeah.
Not
Iceberg
just a salad.
Is perfect for that. Iceberg or butter lettuce. I feel like both of those are perfect.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Very pro.
I feel like it sounds like your upbringing was like a little bit more resistant to like food trends than I think than I think mine was. I feel like I have like a lot of iceberg eating to do to make up for all the years that it was maligned by me and the people around.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny how like we can easily fall into this sort of elitist perspective, like, you know, that iceberg went out of style and now it's back, when like for most people it never went out of style.
Yeah.
Can I give you guys some iceberg history?
Oh, please.
So I went down a bit of
a bit of a wow.
No, I went down the iceberg rabbit hole yesterday, uh-huh. which is like a metaphor that's not working.
But I think it kind of does.
Yeah. I don't know. I can see rabbits nibbling on iceberg lettuce with like little crunches. It's like a real thing. So cute.
Yeah. So iceberg is one of many types of crisp head lettuce. I think we can all imagine how crisp head lettuces came to be called crisp head lettuces.
I feel like that's an elementary school insult.
Crisp head?
Yeah.
It probably is.
I was thinking iceberg man. That could have been like your social media handle, but maybe you could just be crisp head.
Oh. So iceberg is the most popular type of lettuce in the U.S. and really has been since it began being commercially produced. As we all know, it is low in nutritional content, which like people really love to bash it for. But I just want to know who's really eating lettuce for nutrition. I just feel like, do we like...
No, the whole, I just, like,
I don't guess expect, like maybe I don't, a kale salad falls yeah, into that, but that's
right.
a whole other
but yeah,
thing.
I just feel like I don't eat lettuce like expecting, like I'm not looking for vitamins in my lettuce.
Yeah.
No, and this like goes back to like a particular kind of food writing that I feel like I still bump into sometimes, where it's like, you know, let's look at this dish and see like what superfood powers each ingredient has. And I hate this.
Yeah.
Anyway, so iceberg is really cool in that it grows in a particular way that makes it especially crunchy.
Okay.
So Helen Rosner of The New Yorker, formerly of Eater, and she's written for lots of great places. Helen Rosner wrote this great piece in The New Yorker in August of this year.
We'll read the title, the headline.
The title is, "It's Time to Admit That Iceberg is a Superior Lettuce." Boom.
Yeah. Shots fired.
I never thought otherwise.
So she says, iceberg is distinguished by thick interior leaves that are forced as they grow into fractal labyrinths, which fold over and back on themselves until they are a self-supporting mass.
Ooh.
So anyway, so it makes for this structure that, from what I can understand, like traps water in these fractal labyrinths where David Bowie is hanging out, no doubt, and like a tiny talking worm.
You know, my greatest hope for my child is that she will someday be a self-supporting mass.
Yeah. I feel like that's the most we can ever hope for.
Yep.
Anyway, so iceberg contains a lot of water, and it's trapped in these fractal labyrinths, and so it's like crunchy, and it's got this wonderful like juicy crunch.
Yeah.
I feel like the phrase "watery crunch" comes up. I feel like I've heard this multiple times in reference to iceberg.
Yes,
it's refreshing.
Yeah.
I feel sad for my childhood self. I mean, for many reasons, being a kid is really hard. But
weren't yet a self-supporting mass.
I wasn't. And it's really hard to learn how to be a self-supporting mass.
I haven't gotten there yet.
A lot of mistakes to be made along the way. Anyway, I always loved what I called the crunchies in the salad bowl. So, you know, like the ribs of the lettuce, the crunchy part.
I thought you meant nuts like and seeds. Yeah.
Okay.
No, I remember when I was... you know, eating salad with my parents, I would always ask them to, you know, when they served me some, to serve me just the crunchies, the really crunchy parts of the lettuce. And I just think like, oh my gosh, I would have been so happy with a big iceberg salad.
My father-in-law grew up, his mother had her own kind of stuff around like health and nutrition, which is a whole other story, but she would give him like a head of iceberg lettuce as like a snack. Like he would, I don't know if he was like reading or watching a movie or something, but would sit and just peel off leaves and like almost like a crunchy, any crunchy, some pretzels, potato chips. I mean, I'm not equating iceberg with a potato chip, but the sort of crunchy.
Yeah.
You would have enjoyed that.
I would have loved
that. If you like the crunchies.
I would have loved that.
On the other hand, what if you had to sit next to that person?
Yeah.
That's true.
During a movie.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's a good point.
Never do that on an airplane. Yeah.
I don't know. Is that worse than someone crunching like corn nuts though?
Probably not.
Not in principle.
I find, I don't know if this is the same experience for you, but if I'm eating something like a corn nut, which is delicious, and if I'm watching something, I have to like turn the volume up so much because I can't hear.
Absolutely.
It's so loud.
That's amazing.
It's true.
Okay, guys. So hold on. I have more information about iceberg lettuce because I know if there's one thing this show is known for, it's information.
Well, that's right.
Tip of the iceberg, right?
Yes. Here we go. Let's scale down the iceberg. So iceberg.
Was that an expression? Let's scale down the iceberg?
Heard it here
first. Guys, I'm inserting my pickaxe and I'm walking my way backwards down it. All right. So.
Repelling?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Maybe? Oh my God.
I don't know anything about
that. Watch out for crevasses.
Let me put on my harness.
Okay. Don't forget your carabiner.
Oh my God.
That's it. I'm now out of any knowledge related to ice climbing. Is that what that's called? I don't know.
Okay. Crisp head lettuce was introduced for commercial production in the late 1940s. And most lettuce then was grown in California, as it still is today.
I think so.
Yeah. Anyway, so crisp head was the only variety that could survive being shipped across country in train cars, which was the way things were shipped back then.
That makes a lot of sense.
And the name iceberg comes from piles of ice they'd pack it in before there were refrigerated train cars.
Oh.
Now, that said, after I typed that phrase into our agenda, then when I was looking at Helen Rosner's piece, Helen Rosner says, the common story of its name, that it refers to the beds of ice in which the lettuce was shipped in the 20s and 30s, is pure American horse shit.
Oh.
A myth likely originating with Bruce Church, a Depression-era farmer and formidable salesman who founded what is now Fresh Express, one of the country's largest lettuce distributors.
Helen went down the iceberg rabbit hole. That piece was amazing.
Yeah. Anyway, so guys, I really, all this to say, I don't know where the name iceberg comes from.
No, it's just another Bruce Church tall tale. There's so many of those. Yeah.
Anyway, so through the middle of the century, unless you were growing your own lettuce or eating in some fancy, fancy place, the lettuce you were probably eating was iceberg. Mm-hmm. Iceberg was lettuce, basically.
I have a question that I don't know if we can answer this question. Is iceberg or similar crisp head lettuce known in other countries? And if so...
Yes, I can answer that question for you, Matthew. So iceberg
is... in China, right?
I think
Nice.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And it has become... So it was originally like developed to be grown in like northern, like cold climates. Mm-hmm. So I think the places outside the U.S. where it's most popular apparently are northern Europe. And it's slowly getting more popular in Western Europe, but it certainly shows up all over the place, the Middle East, Asia, all over. And for a whole bunch of reasons, which I think we can probably deduce, but I was not able to pin them down exactly, other lettuce varieties came to the fore sort of in the 70s as we were better able to ship things quickly across the country, as people became more like interested in nutrition in their lettuces. I'm still very skeptical of why people are interested in nutrition in lettuce.
As people wanted more of their food to be speckled.
Yes, as people wanted like names like speckled trout when they went to buy their lettuces. Uh-huh. And so now iceberg is not like 95% of the lettuce market. It's more like 60-70%.
Still a lot. Yeah. There is I can't remember it exactly, but there was like a great thing Nora Ephron wrote about like you can trace the history of the United States by what lettuce was available.
Oh.
Like
went from iceberg to like, you know, mixed greens and mesclun mix to like, you know, arugula and now like all the kind of, you know, unbelievable varieties of types of radicchio and like on and on.
Yeah.
It was much funnier than that because it was Nora Ephron, but I'm not doing her justice.
It makes sense to me that, I mean, I think about like mesclun greens and stuff like that. And I think of like Chez Panisse and Alice Waters writing about like farmers showing up at the back door with like basketfuls of mesclun greens and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So this would have been uninvited. Those pesky farmers.
This episode is brought to you by Third Love.
Third Love uses millions of real women's measurements to design its bras with breast size and shape in mind, so they fit beautifully.
They've got more than double the number of sizes of the typical bra maker.
This is so cool. They've got cups ranging from A to H and bands that go up to 48.
Yep. And they now have the cotton collection. So if you love the 24/7 t-shirt bra, which we know many of our listeners do, it's now available in the cotton 24/7 t-shirt bra.
I didn't know
this
that.
This is new.
I'm genuinely extremely excited
about
this.
This is new information from me to you, Molly, and to our listeners.
Wearing cotton underwear is important to me. Now, thanks, Third Love.
Yep. You got it. And it's not, they have a whole cotton collection that's new.
And they're all tagless, as Third Love bras always are. So that means no itching, the straps don't slip, it's lightweight. You should try it yourself. So yep. Here's what you do.
You go to thirdlove.com/spilledmilk to find your perfect fitting bra today and get 15% off your first purchase.
Yep, that's thirdlove.com/spilledmilk for 15% off today.
This episode is brought to you by Grove.
Grove makes it easy to discover the best natural products to take care of your home and family, and they make sure you never run out of your favorites.
Yeah, I'll say. So I got a box from Grove like a few weeks ago, and I'm still making my way through
it. Me too.
I cleaned my stove yesterday. It is gleaming. I used a non-toxic spray cleaner that they sent me. Very happy with that.
I cleaned out like the gunk that kind of settles around like the bathroom sink drain.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Anyway, I used this wonderful Method like antibacterial spray. It was awesome.
Yep. They've got all the brands that you already enjoy, like Method, Seventh Generation, Tom's, Real Simple, and they've got their own flagship Grove brand.
Yep. They offer free shipping and free returns. And you can sign up for Grove Collaborative at grove.co/spilledmilk. And when you do, you'll get a $30 Mrs. Meyers gift set for free with your order of $20 or more.
Yep. If you're ever unhappy with anything, they will take it back. And you're going to get started once again by going to grove.co. That's not grove.com. grove.co/spilledmilk.
I want to talk about the flavor of iceberg, because when I was doing this extremely rigorous iceberg research, I saw that Smithsonian.com calls it, quote, the nation's blandest vegetable.
That's so mean.
Isn't that so mean? It's really cruel. And then, of course, in lots of places, it's been sort of teasingly called the polyester of lettuces, because it's cheap and ubiquitous. I even went down, guys, I didn't include this in the agenda, but I went down this etymological
thought you were going to say
path.
Edamame
path. And apparently the polyester of lettuces, that phrase came out of the John Waters movie Polyester.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Pretty cool, huh?
So it was the movie named after the lettuce?
I don't know, because I've never seen that.
I haven't either.
But anyway, so what do we think about this idea of like the blandest vegetable, the polyester of lettuces?
I feel like it's mean.
Not cool with
that. I have
that.
Nothing against iceberg or polyester, but yeah. I think that they're, to me, iceberg is about texture more than flavor. Mm-hmm. I feel like talking about the flavor of iceberg is hard because there's not too much to talk about. Well, but it's like still has other wonderful merits to it. It's mostly to me texture and that, what did you say? Watery crunch?
Yes.
Yeah.
When I was like a young food writer, these many years ago.
Matthew, I love that you have your elbow on a napkin full of crumbs.
It's okay.
It's so perfect. Go on.
It's my source of power. when I was a young food writer, I read the book The Taste of America by John L. and Karen Hess, which was like, it was written in the late 70s, I think. And it was just early 80s, maybe an excoriation of like the state of food in America. And essentially the thesis was that Julia Child, Craig Claiborne, and James Beard had ruined American food. And they quoted James Beard on iceberg lettuce as if this was just self-evidently a stupid thing to say, that he said that it had good texture and interesting flavor. I mean, I think the texture part, at least, is absolutely true.
Yeah.
And it's weird that we would pick on something for having... for being just a textural element, as if there's something inherently wrong with that.
I feel like punch up.
Yeah.
It's just mean.
Yeah.
I also think the kind of the lower end of the flavor spectrum it has means that iceberg can carry so many other flavors,
absolutely,
which not every other ingredient can do. And like, that's why I think it goes so well with blue cheese. Like, not many things can go well with blue cheese. It's also, I like cooking iceberg. Like, you can stir fry it,
yes,
and it's delicious. And it can, like, garlic and chili and ginger and all that. Like, it can carry all that because
and
it's
stay,
like this
and
vehicle.
Stay a little crispy.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never cooked iceberg.
Yeah, I've stir fried it also. Mm-hmm. It's great.
It's awesome.
Stir fried romaine yeah. is great too, by the way.
It's kind of like, I feel like a bit almost like in the sauteed cabbage mm-hmm. realm, but yeah. it's faster because it's not as tough.
And I imagine that you could probably also grill it the way you can grill mm-hmm. romaine.
I never
think that
tried,
would be
but
probably delicious.
I bet it would work.
Yeah.
I do feel like, I mean, I can very well imagine in my mind's mouth. Like
this is a thing Malik has said before.
The flavor of
that's a bumper sticker.
The flavor of iceberg. Because I think it has, I think it's delicious. So I think that a lot of, that it would be fair to describe the flavor as somewhat neutral.
Yeah.
And certainly it's less flavorful than some of those like darker colored and more interesting lettuces, but I feel like it's got this like real sweetness mm-hmm. to it. Hold on, should we be tasting some?
I'm crunching some right now.
Okay, here. Ooh, whoops. Would you like to taste
sure.
some iceberg?
This plate
Let's
is
see.
So nice and cold. Do you want the crunchy bit here? There's a rib.
I'm okay.
Oh, you've got it.
I'm okay.
What did you call it? The crunchums?
I think this is delicious. I think that if we weren't comparing this to other lettuces. Mm-hmm. And if this lettuce
it is sweet.
It's I think it's mm-hmm. sweet. Yeah. I think it's really nice.
Yeah, it's not arugula, but it never claimed to be.
No.
It was not trying to be arugula.
All the people kind of being mean to iceberg, it's like iceberg never said it was anything.
Yeah. What did yeah. iceberg ever do to you?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's delicious.
So what do you guys do with iceberg? Do you and
I can't hear you.
Turn up the volume in Julia's headphones. What do you guys do with iceberg?
So for me, like the first thing I think of is on an American style hard taco.
Mm.
Like I think it's absolutely essential there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With like seasoned ground beef.
Seasoned ground yeah. beef, mm-hmm. cheddar cheese, some kind of taco sauce mm-hmm. or salsa, iceberg, mm-hmm. shredded.
Mm-hmm. It's like the foil.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Three things come to mind.
Yeah.
One is the stir-fried iceberg, mm-hmm. just kind of garlic, chili, ginger. It's delicious. And now and again, I did a recipe for an iceberg wedge, which no one really needs another recipe for. But there was kind of a fun thing to it where I put like super quick pickled shallots on top.
Yes.
Which could be red onions or whatever, regular onions. And then the like super quick brine, which is like water and vinegar and like a little salt. You let the shallots sit in that so they get a little soft and like, you know, pickle-y.
Yeah.
Is that an adjective? But then the brine that you made for that, you use that to mix with the blue cheese to make a dressing so you don't waste the brine. So it's kind of like a nice like a 2-for-1 type of thing. Mm-hmm. So and I just love that salad.
May we post this recipe
sure.
on our website?
Yeah.
SpilledMilkPodcast.com.
Yeah, great.
Okay.
Fantastic. So I love that salad. And then the other thing that came to mind was my senior year of college, I lived with three really good friends, and one made almost every day, Katie. She would make an egg sandwich that was like toast with mayonnaise. Sorry, I don't know if that offends you. And a fried egg and a big piece of iceberg and hot sauce.
And would she do like a whole leaf or would she shred
it? Like a whole leaf.
Okay.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, it was, I forget about that sometimes and then I make it because it's like the perfect egg sandwich because it's like creamy mayonnaise, sorry, like crisp uh-huh. iceberg and then the kind of runny egg, the, you know, it's like uh-huh. cooling lettuce,
what kind of
spicy
bread?
Hot, like I think she would use like white bread.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember.
Oh,
I think white bread.
Oh my gosh. And what
Cholula.
Kind of? Cholula. Okay.
So it's not super spicy, like kind of sweet hot sauce. It's like
so
such a good,
good
sandwich. And it was cheap. You know, we were in school mm-hmm. and like, I mean, none of us have any money now. So it's like still really good. And it's such a good sandwich. And
but,
it's
I mean,
a great
some of us
use
are
of
professional
iceberg.
Podcasters here. I feel like my namesake, the crisp head lettuce, I've been unfairly maligned here because like we did BLTs recently and we put lots of mayo on those and I ate them with gusto.
You did.
Well
you did.
Done.
And you spread the mayo from like edge to edge.
Oh, that's uh-huh. the...
You did a great yeah. job.
Thanks.
You did a great job.
So I would eat that egg sandwich
yeah.
for sure.
Okay.
Matthew, did you cook stuff like that in college?
I didn't really cook anything in college. I just, you know, I had the unlimited meal plan and I was not the kind of rule breaker who would put a microwave in my room. And so like I would like snack on stuff in my room, but I never did much cooking.
My senior year, I lived in like an apartment on campus mm-hmm. with my best friend Keaton. And Keaton's like go-to meal was she would cook some Calrose rice and scoop out some avocado and put it on mm-hmm. there and then crumble up seaweed on it and then take whatever like leftover meat we had mm-hmm. that was like our
delicious.
Her like cheap food. I was a vegetarian at the time, and I remember I used to buy blocks of tofu and like this like stubs like beef marinade like
sure
it, like in a jar.
Yep.
And I would like put the tofu, like a slice of it, like a slab of it, in a skillet and pour a little bit of that marinade on top. And
the
like
beef marinade on the tofu.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But, yeah, I mean, there wasn't beef in the marinade, but it was designed for, to
got
beef.
It.
Yeah.
No, whatever you marinate in it turns into beef.
Anyway, and so I would sort of, you know, flip the tofu and cook it basically until the marinade had kind of like evaporated. Mm-hmm. And then I would make a sandwich with that and avocado. And I don't remember what else. But anyway, now I'm thinking, like, I feel like that
that's
was kind
crying
of,
out for iceberg.
Well, it was crying out for like an egg on top, oh, okay. Then like something like saucy, and then maybe a slice of iceberg, because it was kind of like a smushy sandwich. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You need that texture.
Yeah. 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 I saw in Helen Rosner's piece that she pickles iceberg.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody ever tried that?
I have not.
That was the first time I had heard of that.
But sounds good.
Yeah. Crunchy. It like takes to flavor. Why not?
You have mentioned to me that when you gave me your enchiladas recipe, you mentioned that I should absolutely not make these enchiladas unless I had a head of iceberg in the house so that I could shred it and put it on top of the enchiladas.
So yeah, one of my family's favorite dinners is like red sauce enchiladas, and I think like shredded iceberg on top.
Delicious.
So important.
Yeah, we haven't talked about the shredded because that reminds me of like Blimpy and stuff.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's a whole other.
I've never gone to Blimpy.
Never?
Never.
When I was a kid, we would like get sandwiches.
I didn't grow up.
There used to be
all you need to know is they finally shredded.
Yes.
Are these burgers?
I feel bad.
Were they burgers?
It's like Subway sandwiches.
It's like Subway, yeah. Okay. There used to be one on the Ave, but I think it closed like 15 years ago.
Okay.
The Ave is like our university district, Main Street in Seattle.
When I was growing up, we had like Subway and Quiznos. Mm-hmm. I would go to Quiznos, and I do think they toasted the bread. Yeah, and the bread was kind of like it had like some oil in it or something. It was kind of like a rich kind of oily bread, and it was really good.
I feel like this has nothing to do with iceberg, but like I used to like going to Quiznos. Also, I like a toasted sandwich. And I feel like Quiznos was like a real thing for a little while, and then Subway was like, "Hey, we could toast our sandwiches also." And then they started doing that, and Quiznos immediately died.
Poor Quiznos.
Yeah, I know. I feel bad about it.
That's harsh.
But the super shredded iceberg, like Blimpy's would slice it. Maybe they used a meat slicer or something. Like
I
it was
bet they
really
did.
It was like
I was going to say maybe they used a mandolin, but I'm going to guess not.
But that it's a whole different type of texture.
Yeah.
Like the iceberg wedge is kind of like you cut into it. It's like a certain thing. You know, chopped up is one thing, but that really finely sliced, shredded, like on a sandwich, it's like it's almost kind of I feel like sprouts on a sandwich.
Yes, like I knew you were going to say that. Yeah.
We win.
When I was growing up, like my standard bring to school lunch was a peanut butter and sprouts alfalfa sprout sandwich.
Sprouts.
What?
Yes.
Wow. Never heard that.
Wow.
Yeah, that was before we knew how dangerous sprouts were.
I don't like sprouts. That's one thing I don't like.
I like bean sprouts. Yeah, I definitely haven't had alfalfa sprouts in a long time.
Yeah, I'm thinking alfalfa like on a sandwich.
Yeah,
I
picture alfalfa sprouts.
Yeah.
I think I definitely...
I think I choke.
I remember... So I've talked before on the show about this health food store. Mm-hmm. Back when we used to have things called like health food stores.
Yeah, sure.
That was right by my elementary school, and it was called The Earth. And sometimes we would stop there after school, and my mom would buy me a carob brownie some like Crystal
Living
Geyser
large.
Sparkling water.
Yeah.
Woo! But anyway, I remember occasionally getting like a cheese sandwich there that would come with alfalfa sprouts, and I actually liked them.
It's like
a
California
know,
sandwich, right?
Them.
It's like
yes,
cheddar
exactly.
avocado sprouts.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely
shredded carrot.
Yeah,
I didn't dread the peanut butter and sprout sandwich.
I
ate it happily.
Never heard of that.
I haven't had one since I was like 11.
Wow, Matthew, I cannot picture you eating this.
Crunchy peanut butter? Smooth?
I think smooth.
Yeah.
Huh. Wow.
I don't know.
Wow. Coming up soon on this Build Milk episode.
Yeah, we should do a Sprouts episode.
Yeah, let's do.
Let's live on the edge.
Okay.
How about burgers?
Uh-huh.
Like, do you like iceberg on a burger? And if so, do you want it shredded or like a whole leaf?
I like iceberg on a burger. I do. I think sometimes I feel like a burger doesn't need lettuce.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of like a I like cheese, I like onion, I like pickles, and because all those things have like so much flavor. Mm-hmm. I feel like iceberg, you know what I do sometimes, I mean, I feel like this might sound a little bit lame, but sometimes if I don't eat a bun, I'll use iceberg.
Oh,
but
sure.
I have a good reason for that, because my wife lives with type 1 diabetes, so we kind of like are very aware of carbohydrate intake and
you
stuff.
You don't have to apologize.
Yeah, so, but I like, what is that? That's animal style, right? From In-N-Out?
Yeah.
I like the iceberg.
Protein style.
Yeah.
Wait, what's animal?
Wow.
I didn't mean for that to be that confrontational.
I'm blushing. Oh, God. But I like iceberg as a bun.
Yeah, absolutely.
It never wilts.
Yeah.
It never quits.
Yeah.
You can trust it.
Yeah.
I really love the flavor of iceberg with like, with meat. Like there's something about, I don't know, I really love the flavor. I am at Essex, we do shredded iceberg on our burgers, and I really love it, and I don't even mind when it gets weird and slippery and soggy. There's no other lettuce I would say that about.
Because, you know, like at the airport, if you buy a sandwich and it has like greens on it and they're so like, who knows how long that's been there, and they get so weird and slippery and soggy. That's like the perfect description for it. But iceberg just doesn't. It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that should be their slogan. It's the lettuce that won't quit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Iceberg, whatever happens, it's okay.
It is good with, sometimes Grace, my wife, isn't a big red meat eater. So if there's a night when, if she's like traveling or something and I'm home alone, sometimes I will grill myself a tiny steak, like a little one, and then I'll like chop up iceberg and kind of put oil and vinegar or like even like lemon, and I like slice the steak like while it's hot and put it on, and then the kind of juice
the
and stuff. Because iceberg with meat, like you're saying, is really good.
Oh,
and
that sounds fantastic.
Like a lot of salt, sometimes blue cheese.
Yes.
Like she doesn't love blue cheese, she doesn't love steak. So I'm like, I'm just going to have all of it.
So you're kind of doing like a mini Gus's House salad.
Yeah, with a steak on top. Yeah.
Years and years ago, I think our first year of the show, we did an episode called Spouseless Eating, which is like, what do we eat when our partner isn't around?
Oh.
We should revisit that.
We should. I feel like it's totally shifted for me now. Yeah, I live with more. So June and Ash are both like more meat eaters than I am. I feel like I could really happily eat like...
Yeah, I don't think you even had a child yet when we did that episode.
Yeah, I don't think I even had a child. My life was so different. Yeah, we should redo it. Okay. Spouseless Eating Part 2 and Sprouts.
Oh, okay.
Woo!
Coming up.
It's gonna be a party.
On the next episode.
This episode was brought to you by Third Love.
Third Love is passionate about the perfect fit, and they think it's time for your bra to fit you, not the other way around.
Yeah. These bras were designed by people with breasts, for people with breasts, so you're going to love the way they feel and the way they fit.
So get 15% off your first purchase by going to thirdlove.com/spilledmilk today.
All right.
Okay.
Is there anything that we have not mentioned about iceberg, that you want to be sure to say?
Oh, do you know what's fun to get the core out? Do you do this? Do you slam it on the counter?
No.
Okay, so if you take your head of iceberg with the core down, almost like it was like cauliflower, and you just give it a whack, like on your counter, I'm like showing you, but they can't see that, but you can imagine that,
whack
it down. Basically, it kind of loosens the core, and you can just kind of twist it off.
I had no idea.
So you don't
idea.
Have to slice into it. I mean. But then you usually end up slicing into it, but especially if you want to do...
But like if you're going to eat it whole.
Yeah, exactly. Like my father-in-law. Or if you're going to do like a lettuce cup type of thing.
Yeah.
It's handy for that. And it's very satisfying because you get to just like smash it.
Cool.
Another. Yeah. It's like a whap. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where can we get another one?
any grocery store.
I did have do we know, is there such a thing as like small farm iceberg, or is it only a industrial product?
I've seen it near where I live. I don't know if you guys... So I am a visitor to your fine city, but I live a couple hours north of New York City, like in the Hudson Valley, which is like farm country. And we sometimes find iceberg at the farmer's market. And we have like one friend who's a farmer, and they do a lot of like greens and stuff, and they'll have it sometimes. But it is that whenever they have it, I'm like, oh, this is a seasonal. It's a vegetable.
Yeah.
Like I don't think of iceberg as a seasonal thing. It's like always there because it's so... What did you say? The lettuce that won't quit.
Yeah, it's the lettuce that won't quit.
Yeah. But it's like an actual thing. People grow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the real world, sometimes it quits.
And it's kind of cool at the farmer's market because they're not always so perfect. You know, when you buy it at the grocery store, it's like perfect. It's like buying
like a bowling
basketballs.
Ball.
Yeah. Yeah. But the one at the farmer's market, they can get like a little funky and like just in the shape. And like when you slice it, there's like cool swirls.
From all the fractals. Yes, exactly. The fractal labyrinth.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah.
If you were going to use a head of iceberg as a bowling ball, what vegetable would be the pins?
Ooh.
I'm thinking maybe like lengths of daikon.
Oh, I don't know.
They would actually stand up.
Yeah, but it would have to be something light enough that the iceberg would knock it over. Yeah.
I wonder if...
Listeners, facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast, what vegetable do you think makes a good bowling pin?
I'm picturing not as a vegetable, but like just a line of like birthday candles. And then you roll the lettuce.
And maybe the watery crunch of the iceberg would extinguish them.
Oh, they're lit. Oh, I didn't even think of them on fire.
Yeah.
Oh
my God. I like to keep things exciting at the bowling alley.
All right. So next episode, we are playing with fire.
Woo!
By which I mean we're eating sprouts.
Okay, cool. Okay. All right. You can find us at facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast where we want to know about vegetables that you like to bowl with.
Mm-hmm. Or put in a bowl.
Exactly. We want to know.
Your bowling alley could be the salad bowl.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Yes.
What else do we want to know, Matthew?
What do you like to do with iceberg that we didn't mention, certainly? Mm-hmm.
I want to know if you've ever cut into a head of iceberg and in the labyrinth you found Jennifer Connelly running around looking for her baby brother.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
I have
one more iceberg thought.
Okay. Okay.
When you said that, which is I once saw it was like turned upside down and part of the iceberg was scooped out. It was like on a crudité thing and it was a bowl for dip.
Oh.
Classic.
Yeah.
So it's like the vegetal bread bowl.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's cool.
That's my last iceberg spot.
Also, spilledmilkpodcast.com, we will post a link to that Helen Rosner article about how iceberg is the best lettuce. We will post Julia's recipe for wedge salad and a link to buy her book now and again.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Let's see. You can find us on any podcasting platform where you've probably already found us. That means iTunes, your native podcast app on your phone, CastBox, Stitcher. Matthew, help me.
I'm one of your favorite podcasting platforms. Thank you.
It's called Matthew, Help Me.
Okay. And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk.
The show that really will not quit. I mean, I've almost been doing this for a decade.
I know that you've tried to make us quit so many times.
So many times.
It's just not happening.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
Oh, I'm Julia Tertian.
There's this car outside.
It's really?
Whose engine
humming.
Is rumbling.
Yeah.
Somebody's feeling really proud of their new mufflerless situation. And I think the only time I ever really...
Oh, no.
We are just so special this morning. Was that your
Have keys? I mentioned we usually do this like alone?
Without a guest.
Right.
Thank you for welcoming me.
Uh-huh.